We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue, broadcasting once again. Remote destination. I'm visiting my family this week. I'll be back in our Happy Valley headquarters next week. And in just a moment, we're going to have Tyler Calvarus on with us. He's been traveling a little bit for the camp circuit. We are well underway with that in the Northeast and across the region. We have Penn State camps coming to campus next month. But in the meantime, regional action occurring. New Jersey was a destination for an Under Armour camp. Our very own Tyler Calvaruso was there, one of many 24/7 sports analysts that were in attendance. He got a chance to evaluate and also catch up with several Penn State targets, Penn State commits, some intel to glean from those conversations, as we'll get to in just a bit here. If you missed our episode earlier this week, I highly encourage you to check that one out. We had Daniel Gallen back from his vacation, and we spent a long time going position by position through this Penn State roster, breaking down what we learned from spring practices, the risers, the depth chart, the position competitions, and then applying what we learned through the spring portal window in terms of Penn State not adding any talent to this point and then losing some players, some more meaningful than others. But a thorough rundown on our last episode of the Lions 24/7 podcast with Daniel Gallen. I just wanted to put that out there in case you skipped it. And now we'll talk recruiting with Tyler Calvaruso. As we mentioned, he's our resident recruiting insider at Lions247.com. Tyler, good to get you back on.
Yeah, we're getting back here at a good time, you know, coming off all these camp circuit stuff. I really enjoy, you know, getting FaceTime with these guys, especially you spend so much time talking to them on the phone and trading texts. Then you get to see them in person doing their thing. That's always a good time. You know, this year's Under Armour camp in New Jersey wasn't quite last year's camp in terms of the talent level that made it out there. But I give every guy who did make it out there credit, because just like last year, the weather conditions weren't great. They were good for the linemen, which is ironic considering once the receivers and the quarterbacks got out there, it started downpouring. But those guys made the most of it. They were competing. No complaints. You always love to see that. But definitely a lot to take away from this camp nonetheless.
I remember last year it was rainy conditions and Luke Reynolds went out and really did some good things at the tight end position, helped him with his rise up to that five-star status. And Tyler, we got a few names to go through here in terms of on the target board, but let's start with within this 2025 Penn State commitment group. And you saw two of them on both sides of the ball during this action in New Jersey in the camp. And let's start with an update that maybe is going to make Penn State fans feel a little bit nervous, and that comes from DJ McClary, the four-star linebacker, top 24/7 prospect out of the state of New Jersey, from Henry Snyder High School in Jersey City. Number 20 linebacker in the nation. He's in the top 200 overall for our rankings, and he's been committed to the Nittany Lions since September during his junior year. What's the latest from what McClary had to say about his recruitment outlook and where Penn State stands, and kind of where do you see things heading from here?
You know, he's looking at other options, given the fact that he was committed to Manny Diaz and that defensive staff. And that was something that he was always telling me about early in his recruitment, that he really loved Manny Diaz and just the prioritization that Diaz put into his recruitment and the overall scheme that Penn State was running with Diaz. That was something that really appealed to DJ McClary. And that was one of the reasons, probably the biggest reason, why he wanted to commit. obviously the change occurs with Diaz going to Duke. Tom Allen steps in. Now, DJ McClay has been back to campus since Allen has been named defensive coordinator. So those two are getting to know each other. That relationship is continuing to build. McClay is still getting a feeling of how exactly he's going to fit in Penn State's defense moving forward. And he's going to be back on campus for his official visit along with the rest of his recruiting class during the weekend of June 14th. So that's going to be an opportunity for Penn State to really lock this one down and keep McClary on board. But before that, he's going to be at Rutgers for an official visit during the weekend of May 31st. Now, this development didn't really surprise me. You know, like I said, anytime there's a change in coaches where the scheme's going to be a little bit different, even though there are similarities, you know, you're going to prospect is going to take a step back and, you know, see, hey, look, should I look around and see what else is out there for me just to make sure I truly am making the right decision for myself and my family? Yeah, and I think that's what McClary is essentially doing here. Rutgers is on the radar. He was in Piscataway for Scarlet Knight's spring game. So him going on to schedule this official visit, again, just an opportunity for him to see more of the program, more of Greg Schiano's staff, get a better idea for his fit there. Syracuse is another program in the mix here. Orange are in the running for an official visit. Nothing locked in there yet from what I've gathered, but that new staff in New York is making an impact on the recruiting trails we've seen time and time again, and they're in the mix here with McClary. But, you know, Penn State has continued to do the right things with McClary really throughout the winter and the spring. And when his summer official visit rolls around, we'll probably have a better idea of where this one's at. But again, Penn State's going to have a chance to keep him on board and lock him in.
It's not like he's been staying away from campus as a committed member of the program. He got back for a junior day in February. He got back for the blue-white game last month. Mm-hmm. But as we know, especially in the James Franklin era, when he's been pretty public about saying when you're committed, your visit window is closed, at least visits beyond Happy Valley. And we've seen over the years there is some wiggle room. There's some cushion with that. Guys have made visits and stayed committed, ultimately end up in the class, and maybe some didn't end up in the class. What do you make of McClary and kind of his placement within Penn State's 2025 haul, considering he's, you know, going on the record and saying, I want to go see other schools. I want to go see other Big Ten schools.
You know, whenever we have this conversation, I kind of look at it through an individual lens, right? Because every recruitment is different. Every recruit has different priorities, and where that leaves him with Penn State, you know, sometimes that could take a prospect in a different direction. I think when it comes to McClary specifically, you know, the staff is taking into account, look, this change did occur, and we understand, you know, if you want to see other places and other programs and talk to other coaches, you know. And anytime when it comes to these situations where guys do go out and want to make other visits and lock in other visits, you know, Penn State staff, do they want to fight that battle? You know, that's something that they always want to consider with the prospect. And if the prospect is someone they really, really want, you know, they're going to fight that battle and fight the fight to keep the prospect on board. I think McClary falls in to that category. So, again, I think what's also important I want to note is the way, and this goes for every recruitment, is the way the recruit handles it when it comes to checking out other schools. Because, you know, if there's transparency and there's clear line of communication between prospect and coaching staff, those things could get smoothed over through a nice little dialogue. You know, as long as the communication is where it needs to be, these things, they play out pretty smoothly. But when there's that lack of transparency and, you know, guys just pop up elsewhere without even telling the staff, that's where you start to see the problems creep in. I think with McClary, there's been a lot of transparency.
McClary, as of now, is the top-ranked member of this Penn State class, 12 commits on board. He's number 187 overall in 24/7 sports ranking. This class in its entirety is number 9 nationally. But McClary, one of 3 potential linebacker fits for Penn State in the 2025 class, along with Deshaun Burnett out of Pittsburgh and then Alex Tache, also out of the state of Pennsylvania. And when we look at what he's done, you think about that rankings, and he's got the clout there. He was named the MVP at that Under Armour Next Series event that you covered this past weekend at linebacker. So positional MVP honors. What did you make of what you saw on the field? Because I know when Brian Doan has discussed McClary on this podcast, he says there are still some more boxes he wants to see checked here in 2024, coming off of some game and camp feedback that he's had and an opportunity to see that in person. So where are you with kind of your evaluation of McClary at this stage?
Yeah, I'm with Dawn on that. I'm wanting to see a little bit more. But at the same time, I think in the camp setting, you know, you're really getting a look at projectable traits and, you know, seeing how those traits can translate to the next level. And I think McClary has the traits to be a really good linebacker at the next level in terms of athleticism and just agility. He's where he needs to be in that regard. He kind of just needs to tap into those traits and those tools and kind of put it all together more. That's what I'm going to be looking for out of him as a senior at Snyder High in Jersey. I want to see him put the pieces together a little bit more. So again, you know, projection wise, it's very understandable why he is ranked where he is ranked, because speed, athleticism, agility, size, it is where it needs to be for a high level linebacker prospect. He just needs to kind of make more of those traits, I would say, and, you know, really piece things together. And that's probably something that will come along in his development. You know, some guys, it takes them a little bit longer to flip that switch during their high school careers. You know, some guys, once their senior year rolls around, they really, really turn it on. Maybe McClary's that guy.
Another commit to get to, and this one is a bit of a rosier vibes for Penn State fans in terms of what's brewing in the 2025 class. Lyric Samuel, he is the initial wide receiver pickup for Penn State's 2025 cycle. Committed back in February, big-bodied receiver, over 6'3", out of Erasmus Hall in Brooklyn, New York. And kind of on the flip side to the conversation about McClary, Samuel's kind of digging his heels in with this class, putting in work as a peer recruiter. Talk us through the prospect profile with Lyric Samuel, but also what seems to be an elevated role or a growing role within this recruiting class.
Yeah, he's really locked in with Penn State at this point. He's not entertaining other schools, doesn't really have anything else in the works. He loves Penn State staff. His mom loves the Penn State staff. So you have the makings of a pretty solid commitment here. When it comes to Samuel's role in the class, you know, Beckham Kritz is a guy who has taken on a leadership role behind the scenes, and you're seeing Samuel do that on the offensive side of the ball as well. You know, the personalities might be a little bit different, but Samuel is definitely he's enjoyed, I think, playing a part in this class coming together. One thing he was telling me was, you know, he looks at some of the prospects who are out there, you know, whether it be on the camp circuit or film or whatever it is, and, you know, he kind of feels like he could provide a unique perspective, and he could, you know, maybe open the staff's eyes to a guy on occasion, because, you know, he knows how he plays his game at wide receiver, and he looks for certain things out of other wideouts, and if he sees something he likes, he's going to relay that to the staff. And I mean, on Sunday, I saw with my own eyes, you know, when he wasn't taking reps, he was chatting up Lex Cyrus, and it's no secret that Lex Cyrus is one of the top names on Penn State's wide receiver board. So I think Samuel, he's doing what he has to do, or what he feels he has to do on his end to make this another special class. He's really excited about the opportunity to get to State College. He was back in town for the Blue White game and just really loved that visit, loved being around the commits who were in town that day. So everything's good between Lyric Samuel and Penn State. He's liking the trajectory of the program. He's pretty excited to for his senior year and to suit up for the Nittany Lions after that.
And he's looking for some company in that wide receiver class. Yes. And you mentioned one of those names for us to monitor that we've been monitoring, Lex Cyrus out of Susquehanna Township here in Pennsylvania, a four-star wide receiver in 24/7 Sports Assessment. When you look at the composite rankings and 24/7 Sports rankings, he is the number 30 receiver nationally right now for the 2025 cycle. He's a guy who has a lot of familiarity in place with the Penn State Nittany Lions. Where is the next step between these two parties, and how do you feel about where things are trending from a Nittany Lions perspective?
The next step is his official visit during the weekend of May 31st, and I think that's going to be a pretty pivotal point for Penn State with Cyrus. I've been pretty optimistic about Penn State's chances with Cyrus, really for an extended period of time now, going back to the winter, and I still feel the same way. I still think Penn State is in the best spot to get this one done when it's all said and done. Now, you know, there are other official visits scheduled. You know, Oregon's getting a look. A&M is getting a look. So there is competition. This isn't some done deal. But I just think Penn State really has not everything working in its favor, because, like I said, he's going to go out and check other schools. But, you know, the relationship with Higgins is good. The proximity to home, you know, that's important. And, you know, he likes the idea of being an in-state guy, staying in-state and suiting up for Penn State. Really, just every time that he's been to campus, it's been a positive experience. And I mentioned the good relationship with Higgins. You also have to take into consideration that, you know, Cyrus worked with Higgins pretty closely during the whiteout camp last year. And, you know, he got a good idea of his coaching style that day. And I think that he gained some pretty valuable insight into that. You know, how is it going to be playing for Higgins at the next level if Penn State is where I decide to be? Yeah, I think that's something that he took away from that whiteout camp experience. We always talk about camps, you know, being so important for the prospect to show the coaching staff what they can do. It's the other way around, too. You know, the prospect wants to see how the coach is and if he can mesh with him at the next level. So I think Penn State has pushed a lot of the right buttons with Lex Cyrus. And, you know, I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. I have kind of gone back and forth on putting in a crystal ball pick. It might be something that I do before official visits get underway. But that May 31st, June 2nd slot where he's going to be on campus, key time for Penn State in this recruitment.
Now, Lyric Samuel, Lex Cyrus, guys who are, I don't know, 4.5, 5 inches apart in terms of their height, and their frames are different. These are different types of wide receivers. But having watched them go through some route running, working with quarterbacks, I don't know what that group of quarterbacks looked like. I don't know what the weather may have affected in some of those passing drills that you witnessed. But what did you kind of get out of that piece, seeing Samuel and also Lex Cyrus out there going through wide receiver work and maybe how they can incorporate something into the Penn State receiver room if ultimately they both end up joining the program?
Yeah, before I even talk about those two, you know, the quarterback group that was there, it was really impressive. You being an Elite 11 guy, you've seen it. You know when a guy looks the part. Bryce Underwood, yep, the LSU commit, oh, he's that. I understand why he's our top-ranked guy at the position in 2025. He's ridiculous. He throws a great ball. Matt Zoller is the in-state Missouri commit. He looked really good. He had a lot of velocity on his throws. Malik Washington was out there. So it was a really good quarterback group. And Cyrus and Samuel got the opportunity to catch passes from those guys, and they looked good doing so. You know, the weather was what it was, and it kind of facilitated a situation where there were some drop issues really with every pass catcher in attendance. So you're not really going to ever hold that against a prospect. But Samuel had a really solid day. His body control to me is really good. He adjusts well when the ball is in the air. Watch him go through the gauntlet. His hands look solid before the rain started. I really, really like his upside after seeing him again in person. It was the first time in a little while for me. And I just think there's so much physical and overall wide receiver skill set upside for this staff to tap into. And when it comes to Cyrus, you know, they play a different game. But if you watch Lex Cyrus during drill work and you see his release off the line of scrimmage, it's like, wow. I mean, we've always known his speed is legit, but just seeing it again in a camp setting, it really reminds you of why he's one of the top names on that Penn State board, why he's so coveted as a slot guy. He's going to be a good one at the next level, no matter where he lands, in my opinion.
I like that you mentioned with Lyric Samuel, just that ability for him to really look fluid at 6'4" as a high school junior. You've seen 6'3", 6'4" wide receivers, and there's a lot at the high school level. A lot of times you're like, is it really going to translate at this position? Is he slippery enough at that size? Is he going to have to bulk up and be a tight end? Is he going to be a defensive back? But I think we saw it last year during Penn State's camp circuit when Lyric Samuel got to town, got to work under Marcus Hagan's direction, ultimately was able to validate the offer on the table and commit to the program. He's got that blend in place, and he's not really sacrificing a ton because of that size right now and his prospect development, which you really do like to see. When we look at other positions, and I want to go back to a Garden State product here in his home state, working in the camp circuit on Sunday, and Jaden Lofton out of Somerville High School in New Jersey, a prospect who has really seemed to be on the up and up, on the come up with Penn State's recruiting radar during these recent months. He's come up on the podcast a few times, listed as the number 43 edge rusher nationally. He is a high 3-star prospect at this point. Tyler, what did you come away thinking about him as a recruit, and what do you think coming away about Penn State's chances in his recruitment?
Very solid showing from him. You know, he was winning his fair share of reps and one-on-one, moves pretty well. His finesse moves are pretty solid. You know, he has that nice bend to him that you want out of an edge rusher. So, you know, I don't want to say it was a pleasant surprise for me because I knew Lofton was a good player, but this is my first time seeing him with my own eyes. And, you know, I think he surpassed my expectations. I really like his prospect profile and his makeup physically, really solid. You know, he ran the 40 and the 4.8s, and he's really physically put together. So I think the prospect profile on him is a pretty positive one. I think he's going to be a nice impact edge rusher at the next level, no matter where he lands. When it comes to his recruitment, you know, Penn State remains in a good spot. Those two visits in April were really, really, really impactful in his recruitment. You know, really just hammered home the family feeling at Penn State. Because remember, during that blue-white visit, he made sure to get his dad out there so he could meet Deion Barnes and really just get a better feeling for why Lofton is so intrigued by the Nittany Lions. So Nittany Lions remain in a good spot there. You know, the four official visits that he has had locked in, Penn State during the weekend of June 21st. He's got Tennessee on the schedule. He's got Minnesota on the schedule. You know, Syracuse is a potential visit. You know, not quite sure if that's going to happen, but those schools are the ones standing out right now. And we're going to have to see how things play out on the edge board. And I know I kind of say that every time we talk about defensive line recruiting in specific, but with him visiting during that final weekend of June, the fact of the matter is there are going to be some edge rusher targets who make it to campus before him. How do some of those dominoes fall? It's always a numbers game. You know, there are a lot of prospects Penn State and every other program across the country likes, but at some point the numbers are going to come into play. That's when, you know, your pecking order on the board matters so much, and deciding which guys you want to take and when matters so much. So we're going to see where Lofton is at once his official visit rolls around, but man, he's a solid prospect. I like him.
We've got a big time edge rusher, one of the nation's best edge rushers to get to just a little bit later here in the conversation. He's more of a long distance pursuit for Penn State, but let's keep it in the defensive line room, and let's keep it with that camp roster that you're working off of that you just got a chance to check out. Adam Shovlin out of St. Thomas More in Connecticut. It's a familiar program for Penn State that they've gone to for players in the past. And this is a guy that we've seen come to Happy Valley and camp for Deion Barnes and company and do some good things out there against quality offensive linemen. What's the latest on him? A guy who's got another year under his belt almost since we last saw him competing in a camp setting. And where is Penn State? This is kind of a recruitment that has a lot of contenders listed. One crystal ball pick pointing to Stanford. That came from Brian Doan in early April. Where do you kind of make sense of this recruitment, putting the pieces together for Shovlin?
I think it's really down to three: Penn State, Stanford, and Duke at this point. And it's going to be really important, I think, when Deion Barnes makes it out to New England showcases next week. He's going to be there on Monday to see Shovlin. I think that's going to be a pretty important part of where this goes between Penn State and Shovlin. Because, you know, that interior defensive line board, and that's where Penn State likes Shovlin, it's not as big as it was last cycle because they signed so many players at the position. So they're not in a position to take as many during this 2025 cycle. And there are guys like Jarquez Carter and Randy Adorica who, you know, have been high on the board for a little while now. Now with Adorica, I will say his timeline for a commitment might dictate where things go. If he wants to announce during the spring, I like Miami for him more than I do Penn State, but that's an aside. Back to Shovlin. The fact of the matter, his relationship with Penn State's in a really, really good place. He loves Deion Barnes. He thinks that this Penn State recruiting class that is being put together has a chance to really change things. And he told me that it's something that he wants to be part of, and he will love the opportunity to be part of that. Stanford is very, very intriguing to him. Academics are such a huge aspect of his recruitment. He told me it's something that has been drilled in him really since he was a child, you know, how important academics are. He called that Stanford degree not just the best degree in the country, the best degree in the world. So I think that there's a chance that, you know, even if Penn State really ramps things up with him, I think there's a chance he lands at Stanford anyway, because it seems like the relationships with the staff out there are already good. And we just talked about how important the academics are and what his thoughts on that school is. So, I mean, Stanford has the chance to win this recruitment no matter what happens, I think. And then with Duke's pretty intriguing. They're a little bit of a wild card here to me because, you know, we talked about with McClary about how Manny Diaz was in place and, you know, guys like Gabe Infante were on the staff. They're all in Durham now. And Shovlin has a really close relationship with Infante. You know, he's close with the family, and he feels that Infante, better than really any other coach involved in his recruitment, you know, has an understanding of Shovlin's background and what he and his family go through on a daily basis. So I think that makes the Blue Devils slightly a wild card in this recruitment, I think. Right now, you know, if I had to handicap it, I would give Stanford the edge. But there are those three are definitely Shovlin's focus. And again, with Penn State, I want to see what comes of Deion Barnes' trip to New England. That's going to be a pretty crucial aspect of things here.
We'll keep tabs on that. Another player to get to, and it's our last from that camp roster that you got to check out, is one of the premier prospects in the state of Pennsylvania for the 2026 cycle, and that's Tyler Merrill, another player that we saw in camp action last year. You talk about the tackle position, really the offensive line position in Pennsylvania in the 2026 cycle. You start with Merrill out of Cumberland Valley, and you continue with Kevin Brown out of Harrisburg High School. Those are the two guys that are the prominent figures early on coming up on their high school junior seasons this upcoming fall. Merrill, as we've discussed, two very different physical builds. I think Merrill was about 50, 60 pounds heavier than Kevin Brown at Penn State camp last summer, where Brown's more of a projected offensive tackle that you kind of got to squint a little bit and imagine what it looks like with some weight on. Merrill's been kind of one of those that we project that maybe he has to shed, transform the body a little bit. How is he looking physically right now, halfway through high school? And where is Penn State involved in what it's really shaped up to be a coast-to-coast recruitment for the in-state prospect?
So that transformation has already started, and I think he looks a lot better than he did last summer. He's definitely stronger, and you saw that with the way he was manhandling some guys in one-on-ones. You know, he shed some of that baby fat that we saw him working with last summer. And I think me and you touched on this the first time we saw him. You know, we're talking about a guy who's still really young. You know, he's entering his junior season. So there's still so much time for him to go through that physical transformation and, you know, really put together an impressive physical profile. And I definitely think he's getting there. He's stronger. He's better put together now than he was at this time last year. So kudos to him for going out and putting in that work. When it comes to what we saw on the camp circuit in terms of his performance, it's kind of more of the same. He's still a really good prospect, and you see it every time he's out there. He was stonewalling some guys. Now, what was interesting to me was he was working exclusively at tackle. We've discussed that, you know, is he a tackle? Is he an interior guy at the next level? I think it's more likely he's one of those more maulers on the interior at the next level. But, hey, if he can play tackle, if he can give you reps there and add that versatility, I think that only boosts his stock. And he looked pretty good at tackle. You know, those kick steps and pass pro, I know the pads aren't on, but he looked pretty fluid. So that was encouraging to me. And I think he's heading in the right direction in his development, for sure. When it comes to his recruitment, it made him a hot topic of conversation on our board because he didn't get back to Penn State during the spring. But he visited multiple times during the fall. He visited for a junior day, and he wanted to dedicate the spring to getting outside of the region and checking out some other schools that have been in on him for a while. I got to say, Michigan made a really, really big move with Merrill during the spring. I think the Wolverines are right there in that recruitment now. He had a good visit to Notre Dame. He's getting to know the new staff at Alabama. He had a good trip to Tuscaloosa. Really likes the staff. He likes the program's overall championship pedigree. Wants to see how things play out with the new group. And from the Penn State perspective, Merrill's big takeaway is he's really just truly grateful for the staff, Phil Trotwine, James Franklin, understanding his desire to get out and see other places at this point in his recruitment. Because he has been around a ton. And, you know, there are some coaching staffs out there that when they see a top in-state guy they really, really want, they're going to be like, hey, look, you got to stay here. You got to do this. You know, this is the place for you to be. Don't worry about all these other places that are involved. But, you know, Penn State say, hey, look, you got to get the bigger picture. And that's something that Merrill has really, really appreciated. I think it's probably something that's actually going to help Penn State moving forward. Just, you know, Merrill, what he was telling me, it just, he loves the message that he consistently gets from the staff about, you know, making sure you have every piece of information available to you in your recruitment when it comes to making a decision. And he's going to be back in town here soon. He doesn't know if he's going to be at that Elite 11 All-22 Regional and State College later this month, but he does know he's going to be back for camp in June when his Cumberland Valley team takes part in a 7-on-7 tournament. He's going to be participating in the Big Man Challenge. So he's definitely going to be back in town. He's looking forward to future visits with the staff as well. So I would say all is well here with Merrill, but is the competition elsewhere stiffer now? Probably, but that's recruiting. It's going to happen. If right now, you know, I mean, you know, you can't, unless you can really, really lock a guy down early, like Penn State did with Cooper Cousins, there's going to be that level of competition. And I think right now it's probably a Michigan-Penn State battle. Georgia's getting more involved after an offer went out on March 30th. He's got a good relationship with Stacey Cereals. He likes him a lot. Tennessee is worth watching. He's starting to hear more from the staff down there. So there's some moving parts here early on, but Penn State, Michigan are the ones standing out right now.
Yeah, and then that 2026 class, and you mentioned, you know, even if you got a guy on board at this point, you're still working hard. Yeah. I mean, Messiah Mickens committed as a high school sophomore. He could be a 5-star running back when it's all said and done here in the state of Pennsylvania. But since spring practice started, you saw Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Miami offer Mickens, who did get back to campus along the way. He's number two, and Ty Merrill is number four on that list of Pennsylvania prospects for the 2026 cycle. The number one guy on that list is Joey O'Brien, a linebacker out of LaSalle College, who picked up a Penn State offer earlier this year. That's the same program that produced Abdul Carter a few cycles ago. Number three on the list after Mickens, you'll find the aforementioned Kevin Brown, who we really love out of Harrisburg High School, offensive tackle position. And then number five, rounding out that top five, Matt Sieg out of Fort Cherry High School, safety, who got to campus this spring as well. So just bringing people up to speed. And by the way, since Stanford was referenced, I did want to say Omari Gaines, former familiar name on this show, spent some time committed to Penn State's 2025 recruiting class. We weren't anticipating he would remain in the class, ultimately did part ways with Penn State in March, and he has now, as we recorded, committed to Stanford. Yesterday he actually committed to Stanford, so he lands over there. We'll be right back on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With Fuel Cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Looking elsewhere in terms of guys that weren't at this camp but are certainly on our Penn State radar now, Tyler, let's go through some of these names, and let's begin with Ivan Kamaju. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's out of Maryland, and he's got some things in the work here. He doesn't even have a profile picture at 24/7 Sports, but he's got a cluster of Power 5 offers. Penn State is among them. This guy's a relatively mystery man to me at this stage of the cycle. I know that probably goes for a lot of our listeners and readers at Lions 24/7. So bring us up to speed on Kamaju. Tell us why we need to know about him now.
Well, the biggest reason you need to know about him is because he told Brian Donovan he has an official visit locked in for the weekend of May 31st. So that's the first important point here. Anytime you've got a guy who's got an official locked in, you already know we have to talk about him. And with Kamaju, it's interesting because he's been a name – who was kind of up there on that interior board. I know on his profile, I believe he's listed as an edge, but Penn State likes him more on the interior. You know, he got an offer during the fall. He visited during the winter. After that, it was kind of crickets, at least publicly. You know, behind the scenes, he was still in contact with the Penn State staff and building that relationship. His junior day visit in January went well. And he's a solid prospect. So I see where Penn State's coming from, having him up there on the interior board. And he's going to be back for that official visit, like I mentioned. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes of that official visit. Not in the sense of his standing on the board or anything like that, but more of where does he want to take things from that point on. Because Penn State is not the only official visit that he's planning on taking or has locked in. He's going to get out and he's going to see some other schools. You know, he's a high three-star prospect and he's on the radar of the likes of Duke. he has an official visit there locked in. Again, that former Penn State staff, some familiarity there. That's a big reason why he's intrigued by that program. Rutgers is involved. You know, Rutgers actually just offered recently. So that's something to monitor. But I think that Penn State has positioned itself well here. But moving forward, how are the chips going to fall for him? Because he's still – he hasn't been a ton of places. You know, it's still kind of early. I know it's crazy to say here in May, but he's still kind of early in that decision-making process. He still has some things to sort through. Penn State's done well, but what else is going to go on? That's what we're going to find out here soon.
Another name to get to here in the 2025 cycle on the other side of the trench. The same side of the trench is defensive lineman Tommy Rupley from the Belmont Hill School up in Massachusetts. We continue to talk about Penn State trying to tap into some of those prep programs up in New England. They've gotten some really good players out of that in several cycles recently. And here's another name to know. Defensive lineman out of Massachusetts here, Tyler. I know you caught up with him fairly recently. What do we need to know?
So he reshuffled his official visit schedule, and that official visit schedule now features Penn State during the weekend of June 21st. And that's a pretty big deal in his recruitment. Now, again, I kind of want to preface it with what I've been saying here this entire episode. Let's see where things stand with other guys come June 21st. Let's see who has gone off the board and where they have gone off the board. Because it has to be said, especially given on the interior, the limited number of open spots. That's something that directly impacts this recruitment. So Penn State during the weekend of June 21st, that was originally Boston College's slot. Boston College is now going to get that visit during the weekend of May 31st. And Northwestern has already actually gotten the official visit that occurred last weekend. Virginia remains on the docket for June 7th through the 9th. And Duke remains on the docket for June 14th through the 16th. And this has been, Penn State's really ramped things up here more as of late. You know, the offer going out during his spring practice visit at the end of March. Late cycle offer, you always have to take note of something like that because, you know, you're kind of reaching that point in the cycle where your board is really set. And a guy could always stand out and impress you during the evaluation period. Penn State has had its eyes on Rupley for a little bit. That's what led to the offer in late March. And that contact has remained in place. And he has a high level of interest in Penn State. There's no doubt about it. We're just going to have to see where things, you know, stand when it comes time for him to make a decision.
I mentioned before Penn State actively involved with one of the top edge rushers in the country. We're going to get to him now. Max Granville out of Fort Bend Christian Academy down in Florida. We discussed his name earlier in the year when he made a trip up the Happy Valley of the unofficial variety. Granville now working towards his official visits and Penn State keeping close tabs, sending Tom Allen, the new defensive coordinator, down to Texas to get a little face-to-face time here with Granville. What can you tell us about this situation and about Penn State's potential staying power for one of the more coveted edge rushers in the country?
Second time Penn State has made it down to Texas to visit with Granville at his school. During the winter, it was multiple members of the staff that made it down there. So it's pretty clear where he is in the pecking order in terms of prioritization. Penn State really wants to bring Max Granville on board in his 2025 recruiting class. So when he visited for his multi-day visit during the spring, that was his first real taste of Penn State, and it went well. And, you know, everyone that we talked to is familiar with that recruitment, continues to maintain that the Nittany Lions are going to have a real chance there. And I think Allen getting back down to Texas to check in with him, that definitely helps Penn State. You know, anytime you get that FaceTime, it just, you know, again, Allen being the D coordinator, you know, he's going to lay out what exactly he thinks Granville can accomplish in his scheme and discuss scheme fit and answer any questions that Granville might have about his potential role at Penn State. So I think getting him down there after Deion Barnes checked in on him during the winter and he got more time around Barnes during the spring, I like that dynamic Penn State has going there. Now, I think we need to be realistic. This is going to be a tough pull for Penn State. Oklahoma's in really strong. Baylor has already hosted Granville on official visit. There are a lot of intriguing Midwest options on the table for him. So can Penn State pull him out of the region and, you know, get him to call State College home? I think it's possible. I wouldn't say likely. I think Penn State's fighting a pretty good fight here, but I still like Oklahoma to get it done. We're going to have to see what comes of official visit season. I think his official is going to be pretty crucial for him in his decision-making process, but it's not going to be easy for Penn State. But right there in the mix, I think if you're the staff, that's all you can really ask for at this point in the cycle.
Max Granville, one of the more impressive physical specimens in this class. When you just watch him and 30 plus sacks the last couple of seasons down at Fort Bend Christian Academy, you understand why there's a crowd to pick up his commitment. Let's look closer to home here as we continue our review of Penn State recruiting. Familiar name by now for folks should be Andrew Olesch, four-star tight end, premier tight end prospect here in the state of Pennsylvania. This is an area where Penn State has really been able to go nationwide in its pursuit in that position room, but it's nice when you have someone essentially in the backyard. What's the latest on Andrew Olesch, who, as we've referenced a few times, Penn State wasn't there super duper early in his recruitment, and there is a collection of notable Power Five programs that have been knocking on his door for a while now.
You know, there's nothing necessarily new on the intel front, but the big development that came about yesterday was he locked an official visit to Florida. So that's another SEC suitor pretty involved with Olesch. When I say there's nothing new on the intel front, what essentially I mean is I do think Penn State remains in a pretty good place there. The relationship with Ty Howell is probably unlike anything else Olesch has in his recruitment in terms of comfort level and familiarity and also longevity. You know, Penn State might not have jumped in with an offer until a little bit later, as did a lot of the other schools here, but he was around Penn State so much leading up to that, and he had camped with the staff leading up to that. And he already knew so much about Hal, and Hal knew a lot about him as well. So that relationship has always been in a pretty good spot. That's something that Penn State is going to have working in its favor, really, for the duration of this recruitment. So I think Penn State has the power to get this one done when that time comes for Olesch. I know official visits are going to be so big for him. He's told me that. So he's going to go through the entirety of his schedule. That's his plan. And he's going to come to a decision after that. Bama's intriguing to him. Michigan is up there on his list. I want to see if he gets to Missouri. That's something he's pondering right now, but he has told me he has a pretty high level of interest in the Tigers. So those are four programs to keep an eye on there, but Penn State still, I don't think they've given up any ground here.
Number 12 tight end nationally. He's the number five player in the state of Pennsylvania. He's at number 185, 6 foot five, approximately 215 pounds right now at Southern Lehigh High School here in the state of Pennsylvania. If you're hearing a little yard work out the window, that's exactly what it is. So don't mind it. We got a couple more names to get to. And on the same subject here as well, at the quarterback spot, you mentioned Matt Zollers a little earlier, him committing to Missouri this spring, obviously, was a big dynamic in Penn State's quarterback plan for the 2025 class. So looking to add him to what they already had in Beckham Kritza, who committed out of a Colorado program and is now down at Miami Central High School in South Florida. So he's a one-man show at this stage in the 2025 class at quarterback. What can you tell us on Malik Washington, 2025 QB out of Maryland? There's been some noise to different degrees in recent years between him and Penn State. Is this something that's going to materialize for the Nittany Lions as a second quarterback pursuit, or is this something we can really put on the back burner?
I think for now it's more on the back burner. I don't want to say, you know, that's definitively going to remain the case because there are traits that Washington has that Penn State likes, but at the same time, Beckham Kritz also has a lot of those same traits. He's also a kind of more, you know, low floor, high ceiling prospect. Those two are kind of in a similar ilk. And with Kritza on board, does Penn State really want to take two players who were prospects who kind of project similarly? I think that's something that those are ongoing conversations. But right now, the way things stand today, there's no official visit locked in. I think if an official visit is going to occur, might be something that happens more likely in the fall than the summer, because his summer schedule is filling up. And I think this is going to be kind of an ongoing thing where Penn State decides if it wants to jump in. Now, Washington could also decide, he's going to commit elsewhere, coming out of the summer, and everything we just discussed might be a moot point. But right now, it's definitely something that's it's on the radar, but it's more so on the back burner right now.
We just talked about the quarterback position for 2025 class, and whether that ends up being a one-man show or a two-man show, we'll wait and see. But 2026 cycle, though, the name that everyone's going to know across the country, Tyler, is Faison Brandon.
Yes.
He's the number one guy right now in 24/7 sports rankings, not just at quarterback, but for the entire 2026 cycle, regardless of position. 6'4", 195 pounds down at Grimsley High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. And as you wrote at Lions247.com on Wednesday, Nittany Lions doing some early diligence with the sophomore.
Yes, Danny O'Brien was down in the Carolinas, you know, making some stops, and he stopped by Grimsley High in Greensboro to see Brandon throw. That relationship's actually coming along pretty well. You know, this goes back to the spring when he visited, and Penn State wanted to offer him in person while he was on campus. That was something Brandon appreciated. He likes Andy Kotelnicki, likes O'Brien, likes Penn State's offense. So competition here is definitely stiff early on. This is going to be pretty much a who's who of college football involved in this recruitment. But Penn State's getting a look. You know, I think it's likely that he's back on campus for another visit at a date that has yet to be determined. But he's giving Penn State a legitimate look here early on, which is it's encouraging. And Penn State, I got to say, they're doing pretty well so far with some of this 2026 quarterback recruiting. They're in, legitimately in, on some of the bigger names in the cycle so far. Now, where does that go in terms of, you know, locking down an eventual commitment from one of these guys? We're going to have to see. But with a guy like Brandon, they're doing some good things. They're trending in the right direction.
Already up to about 24 scholarship offers halfway through his high school career. That list will continue to grow. We'll see if Penn State can remain a presence in this recruitment process for the Grimsley, North Carolina high school standout. Wanted to get to a couple of team notes here, Tyler, as we finish up the recruiting segment of this podcast and just about wrapped up with the show in its entirety. But Keon Wiley confirmed from Penn State officials on Wednesday morning will be out for a significant period of time with an undisclosed injury issue. This was something that was first reported by On3 earlier Wednesday. It is also something that we discussed with Daniel Gallen this week. And when we were breaking down that linebacker room and saying you got to keep tabs on the Keon Wiley situation because he was not part of the equation in early April and through the blue-white spring game. We didn't see him at the final three practices that were open to media members. And it's unfortunate because this is a guy that when you review what's happening in that linebacker room, had a real chance to solidify himself or at least really push toward a two deep spot as a redshirt sophomore. We'll see if he can resurface on the field later in the year and do some positive things with his third year on campus. But early in March, it was somebody that was seemingly an ascending figure in that linebacker room. And when you take him off the field for a bit now, and you already moved Abdul Carter to defensive end, and you already saw Curtis Jacobs go off to the NFL as a Kansas City Chiefs rookie, Tom Allen has some work to do in trying to figure out what the right fit is for a two deep, for a three deep. And if you take Keon Wiley out of that equation for a little while, it starts to make some of those second year linebackers more of a prominent figures like a Kavion Keys, like a Tamir Robinson in the box. And just generally, I think the reaction here, Tyler, is if you're looking for a bunch of help from the incoming freshman class, probably not what you're looking for. Kari Jackson missed his senior season last year up in Michigan. He did get spring ball work. And then Anthony Speca is very close to arriving as an early enrollee. But I think Tom Allen is going to be kind of using the deck of cards that he has already in his hand. And to me, a lot of that focus comes down to Robinson and Keys, who have kind of been, I guess, in the background a bit while Tony Rojas has been the talk of that 2023 linebacker unit. But those two guys who I know you covered pretty closely during their recruitment processes, they take another step toward the spotlight. And I think they were doing that already. But with this with this confirmation about Keon Wiley, I think that becomes more apparent.
Yeah, it's time for those guys to step up. And they've been moving in the right direction. They've been, you know, moving into a position to take on bigger roles and, you know, be impactful players for Penn State. And that timeline is now a little bit more accelerated. I definitely wouldn't expect anything from the 2024 group as true freshmen. I think those guys still need to come along. Carr Jackson, you mentioned it, coming off the injury, he's still working his way back, and I think Speca is probably at least a year away from being that guy. But so it's gonna fall on the shoulders of KV on Keys. It's gonna fall on the shoulders of Tamir Robinson. Tony Ross is already that guy. We already know that. The one I'm really excited about is Keys. And I've said this to you dating back to the winter before spring ball started, where Keys was generating a lot of buzz. And I just think every trait that he has, I think it translates to success at the next level. And I think Penn State fans now, they might see that a little bit sooner than anticipated.
Yeah, it felt like the buzz was in his corner. And then by the end of spring ball, it felt like that Tamir Robinson in his own right had developed a lot of excitement.
Yeah,
to the point where James Franklin is putting practice film of Tamir Robinson as an example to other members of the team. So this is something that we'll be monitoring with Keon Wiley. For now, again, not part of the linebacker on field work. This team will get back into practice action in August. They kick off on August 31st against West Virginia, but they're down a guy that had been generating some excitement in his third year. We wish Keon Wiley well in his recovery process, but passing that along here. And then additionally, wanted to get to, we referenced it there, Anthony Speca going to be making the move to campus soon. There are a bunch of names to monitor here. We have some reporting up at lines247.com. We'll have a lot more of that as this week continues and into the weekend, but the next wave of freshman arrivals occurs this weekend. They'll get into work with the classroom next Monday when the first summer semester opens up at the university. But Tyler, it's not a large group because that large group already made the move in January, 16 guys coming to campus. I wanted to point out one player, though, that as we're talking about the wide receiver room, four guys have departed that room since spring ball concluded. Some of them were going to be factors. Some of them weren't. But we're looking for solutions. You're looking for what's next in the wide receiver room. And Peter Gonzalez comes to campus. I caught up with him quickly coming into Wednesday about his upcoming arrival in the weekend, confirming he will be here. And he's a guy that has just come so far, I think, from when Penn State first presented that offer to the point where he confirmed that he was worthy of the offer and ultimately committed to the program. And this is a guy at 6'2", 200 pounds. I think he's in that range. To be able to come to campus after averaging 23 yards per catch as a Central Catholic standout in Pittsburgh, there is some momentum working in his favor. And like Tysier Denmark, there is limited time for either of these guys to catch up to the pack and get involved at wide receiver come late August into September. But we don't really know what that pack looks like right now, Tyler. So it's hard to say exactly what the wide receiver situation is going to look like. And so I think you've got to leave the door open just a crack. What's your take on these two wide receivers, Gonzalez, who we confirmed is coming this weekend, and Tysier Denmark, who we're still waiting to confirm his arrival, but we know he's on track to join this program before preseason camp?
Yeah, he is on track. So that's an important little note there with Tysier Denmark. But I like the two. I question when they will exactly be ready to contribute. You know, it might not be as soon as maybe Penn State needs, because they still need to come along in their own development. That's not of the fault of Gonzalez or Denmark. That's kind of just the way things are. Gonzalez, I really like the upside on him. Denmark, with him being more of a technician, it might not surprise me if he's the one to make a little bit earlier of an impact. I think that's kind of early in his recruitment, he was a top level prospect in terms of ranking, and you know, he was a top 24/7 guy, and it was very clear that he was one of the elite wideouts in his class. He took a little bit of a tumble in the rankings for, you know, one reason or another, you know, lack of testing times, you know, stuff like that. And I think he's kind of in the territory where he's maybe a little bit underrated. I think that there's still a lot for him to accomplish as a pass catcher. I think his best ball is ahead of him. And I think when it's all said and done, this three wide receiver class that Penn State signed in 2024, I like them. My money's on Denmark as, you know, maybe being the most impactful one out of that group. So I'm excited about seeing what these two can accomplish, but Denmark's the one I'm really keeping an eye on. I just think that there's something to him that's going to make him success at Penn State.
It looks a little silly because since then he has gone in the wrong direction in our 24/7 sports rankings. But way back in that 7-on-7 tournament when he showed up before his senior year of school, I mean, he really – actually, it was before his junior year, perhaps. He had one of the best 7-on-7 appearances at Penn State that I've witnessed, and I know that the golf carts were swarming around him for that coaching staff. And since then, he's also committed to another school and then ended up circling back to Penn State. And he's a guy that I certainly think has the goods. I just wonder from a personnel fit – you know, we've kind of had him primed up to join the competition in the slot for a while, and he looks like he's tailor-made to do that. But when I look at what's happening in the slot right now, you've got Liam Clifford, who's got some significant run there. He's also going to play outside. Caden Saunders is an emerging figure as a redshirt sophomore. His home is the slot. Anthony Ivey, we saw work exclusively in the slot during the spring game. He's a redshirt freshman. And then when I look to the outside, which when you talk about Peter Gonzalez and the frame he brings and the prospect profile, more geared toward a perimeter role, you've got Harrison Wallace, you've got Julian Fleming, who've both done it at the Big Ten level to different degrees. Liam Clifford's going to contribute out there, but then you start working to the, you know, Tyler Johnson, no career games to this point. So I think there just might be, from a personnel standpoint and what's waiting for these guys on campus, maybe a bit more of a path for Peter Gonzalez. But I also, in terms of faring against defensive backs at this level against Penn State on the practice field, I don't know if Peter Gonzalez is ready to go do that and win himself and earn himself a position early on in the season. I know Brian Doan, when he was on this podcast a couple of months ago and kind of evaluating these guys and looking at the room, he felt like it was important to distinguish. You don't need them to come and be starters or front end guys, but if they can be contributors, you know, 10 to 15 snap kind of players, one of them even, that's going to give you a little bit of juice in your receiver room. Because right now, Josiah Brown, we just don't know. We saw him in uniform for the blue-white game. He's the other freshman wide receiver who came to campus in January, but he was hurt last year as a high school senior. He had a significant injury. And as we've covered before, the three guys you brought to campus on scholarship last year in 2023 are no longer on the roster in 2024. So it's really time to start finding some new sparks to work with at the receiver spot, and they'll get an opportunity with a couple guys. Tyler, I know that you and I, and I'm sure Daniel will weigh in too next week, we'll share our thoughts on the freshmen who did make it to town, what they mean for the roster, what the outlook might look like for their first year on campus. But this is going to be a freshman class that already has a lot of the heavy lifting done, with 16 of 25 signees having a semester under their belt, with spring practices, with winter conditioning. And the guys that are coming to campus now here in May and perhaps into June, going to be some catching up to do, but we've seen the likes of Abdul Carter make some noise, come to town and hit the ground running. Jamil Lyons last year burned redshirt despite not getting to campus until the summer. So something to keep tabs on, and over at Lions247.com, we'll have a lot more coming your way on that. Tyler, anything else to add as we look a little bit further in May before we say goodbye to this episode? It's kind of the start of camp coverage here at Lions247.com. It's certainly not the finish.
Yep, we've got Elite 11 coming up. We've got Under Armour Baltimore coming up. So there's going to be a lot of exciting things going on in the camp circuit, and we're going to have plenty of coverage of that. So definitely stay tuned.
And then come June, camp circuit comes here to Happy Valley, and we got a bunch of different stuff happening. Tyler, appreciate the coverage. As always, I know you'll take care of our folks at Lions247.com. Go check out our coverage into the weekend. He's also got some stuff coming on these incoming freshmen enrollees. We've got a story up on Peter Gonzalez on Wednesday morning if you want to check that one out on the site as well. Tyler, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me back on, man.
Good stuff, as always, from Tyler Calvaruso, our resident recruiting insider at Lines247.com. In case you missed it, earlier this week we had Daniel Gallen on for a very lengthy episode, as I addressed earlier on in this one. Broke down a lot about this Penn State roster. Throw on the Keon Wiley update to that, and you got kind of a good indication of where Penn State stands in every single position room if you listen through that last episode of this podcast. For now, stepping aside, I'm Tyler Donahue, heading back to Happy Valley for next week. We're back with some brand new episodes breaking down the latest in Penn State, Nittany Lions, football, recruiting, whatever else happens. We'll talk to you real soon right here on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.